Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Coming up, I'll tell you why we just got more proof Magic Johnson's in over his head. And I'll tell you what I think about T.O.'s latest Hall of Fame stunt. Speak for yourself starts now. Ow! It's Tuesday.
The extra today, huh?
Man, it was we got a BET special for you right now. Today. Hello and welcome. Cowherd is off today. You got the Chocolate Factory in. Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson and Chris Broussard and NBA champion Steven Jackson. Let's start in the NBA, where Yahoo's Shams Charania dropped a Sham bomb yesterday, reporting that DeMarcus Cousins will join the Western Conference All-Stars, the Golden State Warriors, on a one-year, $5.3 million deal. After the news broke, Showtime, one of my favorite networks, tweeted out Cousins' reaction, which was caught on tape for his new reality show.
Bada bing, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
I bet. I'm a warrior.
I don't like this.
I know you don't.
I don't like this. I don't blame Boogie. I just don't like it. Too much talent in the West.
Huh?
If Boogie is anything like he used to be come February or March, I don't like it. It makes the whole season irrelevant. You know Golden State is gonna win. I can't sit here and blame Boogie because of the way the salary cap played out. There wasn't money from a lot of different sources for him to go. And if he's gonna have to sign for $5 million, you damn well go play to win. That's right. The only thing that you can satisfy yourself. But I just don't, there's just way too much talent in the West. And for Golden State to get stronger, this is not good for the NBA.
So what would Golden State, what are they supposed to do? They get a call from Boogie. He says, listen, I'm willing to come if you'll accept me for the exemption. So they're going to say no. Knowing they really only got him for a half a year. You got to think about it. Next, what?
I'm not blaming anybody.
Do you
like Boogie joining four other All-Stars? This is like 1968 all over again. It's the Boston Celtics with all the talent.
Listen, I look at it like this. My man was out there. And this is a blow to the ego, too. Because this is a guy 25-13-5, not getting a call.
No. Yeah.
Not getting a call, okay, at all. This is a blow to the ego. So now he has to step back and play a lesser role than what he would do. Now, he's not coming back to December, January, a half a season.
Next year, regular season matter, Jim?
It matters to him. It matters to him.
No, as a fan. Take him out of as a fan.
Well, it matters because you want to see things come together, especially with LeBron being back in the West. Back in the West. It does matter.
Here's what sells the NBA. First of all, dynasties aren't bad for the NBA. That's been proven. Do I have to run through the Lakers, the Celtics in the 80s, Jordan's Bulls, Shaq and Kobe? I mean, dynasties sell in the NBA. That's number one. Number two, storylines. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
This is another storyline. Now, people want to watch Golden State to see how Boogie fits in. Obviously, you got LeBron with the Lakers. That's a new storyline. You got Paul George staying in OKC. That's a storyline. You got Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving going back to the best team in the East. That's a storyline. Wherever Kawhi goes, that's a storyline. I mean, storylines are what's going to make the regular season relevant, not who's the best team
not
with the best
competition.
Record.
But you asked, did it matter? Your regular season matters because if Chris Paul is healthy in that game 7, we might have a different team going to the finals.
Let's move on.
So
to
it does game. Matter.
Boogie on that team, you know who's winning the title, Steven.
True, no question. But it's just a great move by Boogie. I mean, if nobody wants to offer me a contract and I got to prove myself again, I'm going to prove myself and win the championship.
And
can't
he's
be mad
not
at nobody.
Be 25-13 in Golden
State. If he's anywhere
he's
close,
he's gonna be a role player.
If he's 12-10, it's a problem because it's hard for you athletes to step back and just think from a fan's perspective. That's where I think y'all struggle. As a fan, y'all are struggling. Y'all are thinking as athletes. Because all you are now when it comes to the NBA season, you're just a fan, just like everybody else. You're not playing. You're going to enjoy watching Golden State annihilate the entire league.
Well, I think this. LeBron, the biggest benefit, one of the biggest beneficiaries from LeBron going to the Lakers was Golden State because they can't fight complacency right now. I think him going there is going to make them step up. Like last year, they could get away with, okay, if we don't get home court, that's fine. We can skate through the season. But now that LeBron is in the West, that he's with the Lakers, and we're not done seeing what iterations this Lakers team is going to be, now Golden State can't be as complacent as they were last year.
I can't possibly never look at the game as a fan because I know too much about it. So if I didn't know, then maybe I would be a fan, but I know too much about the game to be a fan. So I'm looking at it as it's the best decision and the only decision. Be mad at those other organizations that's not getting better. Be mad at them, who the guys that they have looking, scouting other players and guys that they sign on their teams, the reason why they're at the bottom of the league. Mm-hmm. You got to be mad at them. You can't be mad at guys that want to win.
Steven, do you watch the NBA?
Sometimes. Playoffs.
Are you going to enjoy the playoffs? If Boogie's anything like he used to be, are you going to enjoy these playoffs knowing Golden State's about to run through everybody?
Of course. I want to be dominant. I don't. Who cares about the other teams that's losing? I'm giving props to the team that's winning.
Golden State.
What are we watching it for?
They will not go for the regular season win record. I don't believe 73 wins. But if they did,
they can get
and
it
they
accident.
Win 75-8 or whatever that would be, 75-7. You wouldn't be, fans would be into that.
Okay, listen, if Boogie were healthy and going to start the year, I think 75-8 is a possibility. He's not going to be available until January, February, maybe March. So 75, you know, they're not
going to. No, I'm just saying dominance isn't going to push the fans away. I mean, first of all, if they didn't sign Boogie, they were the prohibitive favorite. So this hasn't changed too much. I mean, we knew they were going to win it, or we expect them to win it regardless.
The fans are going to be happy in Golden State. It's all the other teams' fans are going to be mad. That's just what it is. Somebody else need to should have signed them. Everybody had that opportunity.
Island, by the
everybody had that opportunity, Whitlock.
Your Pacers had no chance.
Everybody had an opportunity to sign him. They had the opportunity.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
All right, well, people were mad enough when the Warriors added Kevin Durant to a 73-win team. And now they've added yet another perennial All-Star to a team that's won 3 titles in 4 years. In fact, adding Cousins makes the Warriors the first team since the 75 Celtics to have 5 All-Stars from the previous season. Even still, I'm not 1,000. I'm about to contradict myself a little bit here. I'm not 1,000% sure they're going to be unbeatable. Because the guy is coming off an Achilles injury. And look, I think Dominique's the only person that's ever come off that injury and been himself again. And then when you add in Boogie's 270, 280 pounds coming off an Achilles injury, Golden State has, you know, they're going to pay, I think, $20 million maybe in a luxury tax or whatever. But so they've taken a bit of a risk here. You're talking about a 280-pounder coming off an Achilles injury. That we haven't seen it. Chris Webber, when he came off, he had to basically change his entire game.
Yeah, and I think, but that's why, too, you take a chance on this because, you know, keep in mind, this is a year thing. It gives Boogie a chance to kind of reinvigorate his career personally. Because if he can get there and show that he can play with the Golden State Warriors, because there's going to be times that we all know Steve Kerr is going to play a small lineup. The eyes are going to be on Boogie to see if he gets upset. Next year, you got Durant, Klay, and Draymond up. Those are the priorities for signing back. So this is a one-year experiment. So for me, this Golden State team was going to be unbeatable unless you had key injuries coming into the season anyway. They still had to build out their bench a little bit more, but Boogie, his time...
How can you say that, Jim?
What?
Even without Boogie...
They still were going to be tough to beat.
Houston took them
7. But they didn't beat him. They didn't beat him.
And they're not relying on Boogie. They just won it two times without him. They're not relying on him. He's just an addition. He's a plus. They're not relying on him. They know what they got to do without him.
Look, I expect it to work. JaVale McGee, Nick Young, anybody that's gone in there with a tough reputation has worked out. But to your point, there are some red flags. I mean, and my thing is if it doesn't work, you can just cut him and still be the best team in the league. But offensively, he's a ball stopper. He likes to survey before he makes his move. They're not going to want that in Golden State. He's going to have to learn how to get rid of the ball quickly. Defensively, he doesn't switch. You can't switch with him. They like to switch everything. So there's going to be some challenges. And can he accept his role? Because he, like you said, this is a tryout for him. Mm-hmm. This is obviously show that I can get along with guys, not be a problem in the locker room. But also, I want to play well, show I'm healthy, so I can get the max deal in 2019. So is he going to be happy playing some nights 15 minutes a night, getting 5 shots a night when he's always been the focal point? So there are some issues there, challenges there, but I think it'll work out.
I think he understands that. You know, he got this whole campaign, Zero Doubt, the resurgence, you know, with T-shirts he's passing out and he's wearing and stuff like that. I believe he'll be back to full form. I think going there with these guys, being around all these professionals, guys that he respects, mm-hmm. guys that are MVPs, being around those guys and winning, it changes a lot. It happened to me in San Antonio. You know, it helped me change and understand that this is more of a business. You got to come in and come to work every day. It's not just a game. And I think that'll rub off on him.
Two things changed for him, though. One, I'm going to go back to the humble pie. You're not getting phone calls. So what you thought and who you thought you were and who you thought the teams were going to come at you and offer you opportunities, it didn't happen. It didn't. And for a player like us who got egos, mm-hmm. when you know that you're in a situation and you're at the top of your game, you get injured, and you get no phone calls, that is a shock. That's a blow.
A lot of teams got it wrong, though.
And that might make him want to go in and get his 15, 16 shots. Despite that, he may want to put up numbers. But when I really sit back and think about mm-hmm. this, I think Golden State got an opportunity just to play defense. They weren't expecting Boogie to call. Mm-hmm. And then when they sat back and just thought about it a moment, like, hey, for this money, why not sign him and keep him away from everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Keep him from the and
you know what else? That's a great point. Uh-huh. And it's scared. Like, the reaction. Like, are there teams that are going to walk in there defeated already?
Yes.
Right?
Half the league.
Okay, so just for that reason,
right.
you got people running scared because, they got 5 All-Stars.
And to your point, though, Chris, that creates a mindset and a mentality right now during the offseason. You know, you got people like me, but even some of the players around on other teams like, man, the season's already over. And mm-hmm. that mindset can trickle into you need that mentality right now in preparation for the season
right.
that we got a chance to win a championship. And Golden State has eliminated that from the minds of maybe every team except for Boston and Houston.
And it shouldn't be that way, though. You're a professional. Yeah, exactly. You should come in confident.
But shouldn't that motivate front offices, though, to really evaluate talent and make their
roster? They got to do a better job.
They got to do a better job evaluating and also bringing in the right mix. I think having Golden State dominate, just like when the Lakers were dominating in the West when nobody else was there, all the talent was in the East. But yet and still, the Lakers were winning the championship. But all the talent was in the East. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has to step up in there. I think this may motivate a lot of general managers and franchises to really peel back a little bit and really research a lot more on their scouting side to build out their team.
That's what it
is. That's a great point, Jim, because look, as great as this team is, Steph Curry was a 7th pick, mm-hmm. Klay Thompson a 12th mm-hmm. pick, Draymond a second rounder. The only odd thing was that Durant goes there, but they created a culture and an offense that he wanted to play in, and then Boogie calls them. Like, you can't, you just got to give them props. The other front offices just got to step up.
All right, welcome back. Steven Jackson and Jim Jackson are back. We're joined now by NBA insider Rick Bucher. Let's move to the Lakers, who have got a lot of people scratching their heads as they build a supporting cast around LeBron James, reportedly adding Rajon Rondo to an already strange-looking new roster. Aside from LeBron, the new-look Lakers have now added old Rondo, crazy Lance Stephenson, the star of Shaqt and a Fool, JaVale McGee, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm not sure Magic knows that it's 2018 and Steph Curry has completely changed basketball and that you got to hit three-pointers to win in this league. You got to play offense. This team is built for the 60s or the 1980s and the Detroit Pistons when you were beating up people.
I don't even know if it would fly then, to be honest with you.
It wouldn't make it back then.
So everybody thinks the LeBron just has a year to give away. That, we're just going to load up a one-year contract and we're going to give this season away. And LeBron's going to be 34, 35 mm-hmm. the next time we go play for a championship. That's dangerous to me.
What are you going to say, Rick? You're ready to go.
Well, what's the alternative?
It's not a lot out there. You couldn't get J.J. Redick.
Right. So the number one thing, you're not going to get players that fit the way LeBron wants to play or the kind of guys that you want to put around him. Tell me the shooters that are out there that you can sign to one-year deals for this kind of money. They're not out there. So get guys that LeBron respects, because these guys are not afraid of him. If you look at every one of these guys, you've seen them in the playoffs at various times get matched up with LeBron and show no fear. Lance may be a little goofy, but the fact is, he loved getting down in a defensive stance.
He
got
scored
this,
on
right?
every time. But
and,
he
yeah, but he was up for the challenge, but he wasn't
right,
scared.
Right.
Rajon Rondo's not scared. JaVale McGee got switched out on him. He's like, I'm a big man. Exactly. I'm out on an island, but you know what? I'm going to try to take him on. So at least these are guys that LeBron respects and feels like, all right, maybe he can't hit a jump shot. But you know what? I'm going to spend a year with him. I'm okay playing
Jason,
with him.
Jason's shaking his head. I get what you're saying, because it doesn't make sense right now looking at the hoopla. But if you look at the long-term effect, which is, to me, 3 years, when mm-hmm. LeBron can really opt out of his deal, even though it's a four-year contract, he's given them, I think, great confidence to say, we're going to build this thing the right way. 2019, if we can't get Kawhi now, couldn't get Boogie now, we're going to fill this in, be very competitive. Not that they're saying this, right. but this is what they're doing with this lineup. Those one-year deals allow them to be competitive in the West, mm-hmm. but also have cap space for next year.
Competitive with who?
Who in the West? Well, you like Denver?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So you're taking the top teams off the table. They can be competitive with the
very
bottom.
No. I even look at Houston. Can Houston
Sacramento,
really?
Sacramento. That's what you look
no,
at.
No, come on. Stop playing. I'm looking at Houston losing Ariza. Can they really get back? It's hard to get back to that level. Mm. It really is. Chris Paul coming off an injury. So if you look at the West, you don't trust really Minnesota. You don't trust Portland. Okay. I still don't trust Houston as much. So the Lakers got a good opportunity.
Let's leave Utah out of the conversation.
To make Utah can be there. Okay, so Utah, OKC, and Golden State, and Houston. Okay, what else?
Right. No, I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree with you. But
LeBron James and
the Lakers. LeBron James can get you fifth place.
Hold on.
He can get you fifth place.
He can get you seven.
He can get you fifth place.
It's the Lakers, man, and they can sign LeBron James.
Did you see that, man? He can get – who else? Okay, so you would take the Lakers over Minnesota with LeBron James?
Fifth place is a failure, Jim.
No, I'm just listen to what I'm saying.
Lakers?
They're not trying to win. They're not going to win a championship this year.
Wait a minute. Where have they been the last couple
exactly.
of years?
Exactly. They ain't been in the playoffs.
That was
Jason.
35 wins. They're going to go to 46, 47
Y'all
this year.
Y'all are
being
diminishing
the,
exactly. the no. Lakers and LeBron James.
Not I'm curbing the expectations.
You talk about living in the 60s. You're living right. in the 70s and 80s. These aren't these Lakers.
Yeah.
These are the Lakers that had no hope. Now they have LeBron James. Now, I don't know if they can make your timeline, because LeBron has defied Father Time to this point. You're saying 3 years before you get there.
No, I'm not saying three. I said they're preparing for next year's free agency
play. Go ahead, Steve,
play.
Before I go back off.
That's okay. what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Steve. I just look at it.
For him to come to the West and to bring to Lakers even close to a fifth seed, that's a great accomplishment. Because the Eastern Conference, he walked through that every year. This is a whole different monster he's dealing with on the West side. So if he can come and get them to the playoffs, I think it's still a successful year.
What is a successful year for you?
Happiness is always based on expectations. And so I'm going to tell you what Jack Nicholson expects from his front row seat. Wilt Chamberlain when he came here. Kareem when he came here. Shaq when he came here. LeBron may not be 7 foot, but he's a freak of nature just like those
but
three guys.
But they didn't win it when they first came here.
They didn't come in fifth place either
win,
in the West.
But they didn't win it.
They didn't come in fifth
but
place in the West. And nobody
too,
was
Jason.
Sitting.
I understand. Jason, they had to deal with legacy, and they didn't
LeBron
win it in their
James
first year.
LeBron James is a freak of nature.
Right.
He just came to the biggest circus in America, the Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles. The expectations are no one's going to be saying, oh, fifth place, this is great with LeBron. If we were talking, look, if it was Kobe, I would get it. If it was a bunch of, but you're talking about.
What's the expectation then? You set the table for what the expectation in the West is, not the East.
If
in
you
the
go
West.
Bring Shaq, if you're bringing in LeBron.
Okay.
You should be competing for a title, particularly when he's 33, 34. Because you just don't have a year to wait.
No, but you're bringing him in. You're not
with
bringing
what?
Anybody else
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
If you when he went to Miami, you had Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. When he went to Cleveland, there was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. Tell me who's riding with him right now.
You're saying that's the problem I'm articulating. If you're bringing LeBron in. You got to bring somebody with him.
Understood.
You
but who's there?
Who else?
Who's there?
I don't care who's on his team right now. You play LeBron in any round of them playoffs, you worried. I don't care if it's first. I don't care what team it is. LeBron in the playoffs, when it's a seven-game series, when he has to be the best player of that series, I'll take him against any team. I like the chances.
Here's why I'm criticizing Magic and Pelinka. Magic's the big name, but Pelinka involved in this as well. You had a guy that said a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I'm leaving Indiana because I want to play for the Lakers, and you didn't get him. Hmm. That is on Pelinka and Magic. So when you put together this plan, we're going to bring LeBron in here at 33, 34. When they got Wilt, Kareem, and Shaq, Kareem was probably the oldest of any of them.
Right.
And he was still relatively, yeah, I bet he right. was 30, okay. 29. And so they brought in LeBron, but they didn't bring in the
here's
other
a, here's
piece
a, here's
with
a simpler,
him. And
here's
so
a simpler,
now we're going to throw a year
here's
away.
Here's a simpler question. Would you rather have Paul George or LeBron James?
I don't want Batman without Robin.
Just ask, answer the question.
I don't need peanut butter without jelly.
Okay,
I
mean,
no.
Okay, see, have more to sell.
You gotta pick one first. Do you want the peanut butter first or the jelly first?
They left the jelly re-signed with OKC.
They
man.
Signed the peanut butter. They got the peanut butter. Getting LeBron James was an accomplishment in and of itself. It was not a guarantee. Now, if you had said, hey, LeBron, hold your horses. We're going to go with the younger cat. You don't think if you would put all your weight behind getting Paul George, Paul, you're our guy. You're it. We're picking you over LeBron. You don't think that would have happened?
Okay,
the problem is they weren't doing that. Oklahoma City was saying, Paul, you're our guy. Look, they're going after Kawhi. Mm-hmm. They're going, like, all this other stuff.
And their star was already locked in. Their star was already locked in. Russ was already locked in OKC. So it was easy for Paul to make that decision because they had already played together. He didn't know what was going to go on in L.A.
Exactly.
He didn't know what was going on. So that was a smart move by Paul.
If I'm LeBron James, I don't want to be here by myself for a year. And if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers, I feel like a failure if I brought LeBron to the greatest show on earth and I got no one to play with him. That's a failure.
The greatest show on earth is in Golden State. It's been there for a couple of years.
Well, LeBron's right. always the greatest show. LeBron's
that's, what, that's the greatest show. Owner. It's not in L.A.
And
right now.
Bring anything to play with him. They'll be lucky to trade for Kevin Love.
You didn't change your expectations.
Kevin Love.
You just said it. You know what? Happiness is having your expectations in the right
his
place.
His talent set the expectations, not me. All right, welcome back to the show. Jim Jackson, Steven Jackson, and Rick Bucher are back. Let's return to the NBA. Where everyone's been wondering if the Lakers will be able to pry Kawhi Leonard away from the Spurs. But it turns out there's another All-Star who wants off his current team, with Jimmy Butler reportedly fed up with the Timberwolves and having no intentions of re-signing next offseason. I think Butler actually might be a better trade target for everybody in the NBA than Kawhi Leonard, because I think Kawhi only makes sense one other place than San Antonio, and that's playing with LeBron James. I think I need to see Kawhi outside of the San Antonio system before I'm completely sold. Jimmy Butler's played in two different systems, whether you like him personality-wise or not, the guy puts up numbers wherever he goes. If it's Thibodeau, if it's Fred Hoiberg, he's going to put up. Jimmy Butler's a great player. I'm not 1,000% convinced that Kawhi can say the same. If he goes and plays with LeBron, I think he'll be fine and great. Any place else in the NBA, I'm not sold.
Well, the reason why I like these two players is because they exceeded expectations in regards to what they've been able to accomplish in the league. So that says a lot about who they are, from the hard work, the personality, the ability to fit into systems. And Jimmy Butler himself in Chicago being able to perform and then go to Minnesota, which is tough playing for Tom Thibodeau. It's tough to be able to perform. To me, too, he's very valuable to a guy like LeBron James because he can catch and shoot.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler is, because he can catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he can lock up and guard two or three positions. He gives you that other perimeter guy at the two position that now you can do some things. Kawhi, on the other hand, can guard four positions, basically, the way the league is right now. So it's either, I don't think you go wrong with either one if you're LeBron James, but I think from a complimentary perspective, I like Jimmy Butler from the catch and shoot perspective. Catch and shoot.
Inside the three.
Inside the three.
I mean, that's the distinction for me. I think that Kawhi's range is a little bit better. I think he can catch and shoot, too. As you said, he's more versatile defensively. The other part is Kawhi's been part of winning equations. Mm-hmm. Kawhi has been a finals MVP. He's proved to be a champion. I love the Jimmy Butler story. I think he's been a success. But does he make other guys better? That's my question. If you're going to be a max contract guy, I mean, look, Chicago didn't really like him. Had success, yep. Didn't really like him as a leader. Minnesota, those young guys didn't take to him. That's the question I have. I don't have that question with Kawhi. And the other part is, you're signing him up long term. Jimmy Butler, as you mentioned, has played for Tibbs. How much tread is left on those tires? He has played heavy minutes everywhere, Chicago and Minnesota. I'm not buying him just for 1 year. I'm signing up for four, and I don't know how much physically he might have left. It's a question.
Well, they're both similar. There's two similar, if you ask me. Two of the top three two-way players in the game, if you're talking about Jimmy, talking about defense and offense, both of these guys do it great. I just see Jimmy being more of a locker room guy. You know, with LeBron, I think not only he will be that guy to
good get in the locker room,
great like in the vocal. Locker room, you mean like great, vocal. Yes, vocal great like in the that, locker room because
vocal. Yes, I don't know about great.
Yes,
vocal, but I don't know about great. The young guys didn't want any part. You know what they called?
You know why young guys?
You know what they called him in Chicago? Hostile takeover.
You know why young guys?
He wanted to be the leader.
You know why young guys probably didn't like him? Because they want to do things their way and they haven't proved nothing. You know, tell me what rookies came in the game when you was veterans that did everything the right way, that didn't buck the system.
I'll give you
all young guys do that at some point. But Jimmy, the coach he was with, they understood what it takes to win. Jimmy understand he's a winner. We talking about a guy that if he's hurt, he gonna fight to come back quick. He just had surgery last year and made it back for the playoffs. Yeah. I think him and Kawhi both are the same players, but I think Kawhi's a better one-on-one player. You can drop it to Kawhi. Kawhi, he can get a bucket. He's better on offense, but any one of these guys you have, I think they're great for a team because they're going to make everybody better and they're great teammates.
Jimmy Butler better in the locker room than Kawhi, in your opinion?
Yes, because Kawhi don't talk.
Right.
Well, that I agree with that. And I would agree with you in that Jimmy's a great locker room guy if it hadn't been for the fact that Rajon Rondo spoke up for the young guys and said, this is not the way vets taught me to lead a team. And that creates the question. I don't want to say decisively that Jimmy's a bad guy because there's so much that's good about him, but I have a question mark as to can he lead?
But here's the thing. Go back to expectations. I don't expect Jimmy Butler to be my number one, my best player. Chicago did and Minnesota did, okay?
Yeah. If he comes and he'll to the know Rangers, he's not.
Knows he's not. So you got LeBron there to buffer that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when you're in those situations, you know it when you went to San Antonio, you're tough. You got in mind what you want to do, but because of that locker room and some of those leaders, now you changed a little bit your mindset because the expectations were different.
Here's what I want to say about that because we've reduced it to a Lakers conversation and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, I think, seems to be on the record. He wants to play with Kyrie Irving. And so that, to me, might be an indication he doesn't want to play with LeBron James.
But Boston, I don't think they would give up, you know, to get
Kyrie there. And Jimmy...
We'll go where?
Brooklyn, perhaps. And so what I'm saying, what I think is an undercovered issue here is LeBron is 33. I think a lot of these young players, they're over LeBron. And I'm not sure everybody wants to play with
some people
want to
play against
LeBron.
Him. Everybody want to play with him.
That's a good point.
True. Yeah.
But by the way, we're only talking about the Lakers because we're trying to help you out. You have expectations that are unrealistic.
We thought that's where you were going
that's
with
it. All right.
Kobe Bryant, whose LeBron support tour continued all day yesterday, with the former Laker great going on any show that would have him to express excitement and love for the Lakers' newest star, even telling LeBron, quote, anything you need on my end, I got you. I'm not buying any of this, but I'm going to pipe down because I'm going to let you. I want to hear from you first, Jim. You played with
play
Kobe.
With him. I don't.
I don't buy this at all.
Oh, I buy it. Oh. He's genuinely happy that he's there. You know why?
Why?
Because we've had all these comparisons
of
LeBron
win,
and Kobe.
Kobe, right?
Kobe looks at it and goes, is he going to win another two championships in L.A.? Hell no.
Right.
My five is safe. In fact, is he going to go to the second round with this team at age 33, 34, like I did the last time when I was 33, 34? No, he's not going to do that. Is he going to be able to deal with all of the pressure of having Jack in the front row and all those stars and what they expect on a nightly basis? Is he going to be able to deal with the whole social scene in L.A. and be all that you have to be as a Laker? Come on, LeBron, come on down. What you need? I got you.
And I played with Kobe, too, and from the ego perspective, he was such a competitor, bro. So when I started hearing about this stuff about inviting people in. Let me tell you something. When I played with him, he wasn't as inviting to his teammates.
Right.
He just wasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had teammates shook, scared to do anything. So to me, when I hear this stuff about inviting into the Laker organization, you got Kareem coming in, and you got I'm just sitting here shaking my, and I love Kobe to death, but I'm like,
right.
But he got to play the role in regards to that. But deep down inside, you know and I know.
You know why it's genuine? Because he's not on the team.
That's why I'm genuine.
If he was there in LeBron game, what would
it'll be a whole different situation. Whole different situation for Kobe. If he was in that locker room and he knew LeBron was coming on that team and they had to play together, it would be totally different. Yeah, it's genuine now because he's a part of that family. He want to see this family do good. And he don't have no meat in his fight. You know what I'm saying? So right. He can just watch it and be a fan and try to help as much as he can.
He does have some meat in the fight.
Where?
What?
Kobe, in terms of what Rick was talking about. When you start talking about who is the greatest Laker, and Kobe's in the conversation, although he's third, he's not going to want to take a step back
He's not going to have to.
Okay.
LeBron, there is no way LeBron comes in.
He doesn't remove Kobe. He doesn't.
There's no chance.
When are we ever going to come with a list that says top Laker and, okay, you get paid this? It doesn't matter anyway. It never really, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a list.
Is it what it means?
It doesn't mean nothing. You don't get anything from it.
Whoa. For Kobe's, to me,
you're always a bottom line guy.
It doesn't mean anything.
What does the check say?
One person in the history of sports that has two jerseys hanging from a rafter.
Right.
Kobe's got the biggest ego we've ever seen in professional sports.
That's pretty dope, though.
The two jerseys up, that should have told you something. And when he played that last game and scored 60 points, that should have told you something. Kobe cares about everything. And to me, he's not being genuine.
He's being genuine because you know why? Because he's not threatened.
He's not threatened.
He understands the situation. If this was competitive, if LeBron was coming in and this team was stacked and he thought, man, he could come here, he can win championships, he could throw some shade
A younger LeBron, too.
But he knows. He knows where LeBron is. He knows where this team is. He knows what the timeline is. Mm-hmm. He's looking at it and saying, he's going to come in and people are going to remember how good I was. And they're going to compare it to this LeBron, and it's not going to be as good. And for the first time, we're going to have an even-up comparison, and I'm going to have the advantage.
You're going to walk in here one day, there's going to be two Whitlock jerseys up there. You're going to be like, oh, it's me. Both of them up there. I did it.
There'll be two hats up there. That's what it's going to be.
The difference will be, I will have earned it in the
Stop it.
All right, welcome back. Jim Jackson is back. We're joined now by Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth and the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the NFL and Terrell Owens, who had already announced he wouldn't show up in Canton for his own Hall of Fame induction ceremony and revealed today that he would give his Hall of Fame speech at his alma mater, the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. I've come down hard on T.O. for how he's handled becoming a Hall of Famer, but I'm actually okay with this move. I actually feel a little bit sorry for T.O. I talked to some Hall of Famers over the past couple of weeks. There's a great deal of expense to getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. In order to throw the right party and the right event and bring all the right people, it can cost $250,000 to $400,000. And generally speaking, what happens with these guys is the team that they're representing foots the bill. And T.O.'s played for so many different teams, I'm not sure if anybody was willing to step up. And so I don't blame T.O. here. I did some homework in terms of he's going to do it at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. Chattanooga is about a 3-hour drive from his hometown in Alabama. Canton, Ohio is an 11, 12-hour drive. So I think he can accommodate more of his family this way. There's not the great expense. And I'm sure the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, is stepping up and supporting him. I think this is the right move.
And I've been to a Hall of Fame, too, where Chris Carter got inducted. I was blown away on the expense, on the tents itself, on everything that went into it. And so when T.O., declined to go, I was kind of put back a little bit because I thought that was a pinnacle of what you did as a football player. You wanted to be there enshrined with your other Hall of Fame inductees. But when I saw that he was going back, I think it goes back to his closeness with his family, his grandmother especially, going back to the school. I felt for T.O. right there in that moment. This is something that he wanted to do. Okay, he didn't do it in Canton, like you said, but he did get around. He said he wanted to surround himself with people that meant something to him at that time. So I love the fact that he went back to somewhere that he really got his jump started.
Yeah, which that part is great, and it's much better than having a party in Vegas for yourself, yeah, right? I mean, that's much better. Truly, the sad part of this is if it is financial and none of the teams that you played with want to support you in your Hall of Fame induction, or all of the teams won't pitch in for your Hall of Fame induction. And I have no idea if nobody really wants to be associated. That's your career legacy. And that to me is really sad, because he was a great player, a great player. And if truly, now I don't have any idea if the teams don't want to support him or not, or if he just doesn't want to be there, you know, or if he's angry that it took a while to get in, you know, it took a couple of votes to get in. I have no idea, but I am happy that if this is truly where you want to be and you want to go celebrate at your alma mater and you want to have those people and your family in that group, then good for you. But if it truly is that it's a huge expense, and I've talked to a lot of people that have talked about the expense, and that nobody actually wanted to help out, that part is sad to me.
Yeah, I'm going to lean on if this is going to make him happy, that's great. But I keep coming back to, and you guys make some good points, you know, just where is his football family? Is he part of the brotherhood? This is a Hall of Fame that rejected him a few times. This is a league where he was booted from 6 teams. They basically were like, yeah, we're not interested. But you look at his college, and that's the place he was universally loved last, right? He ran track on the track team. Mm-hmm. He was on the basketball team for 3 years. A football legend over there. And it just seems like he's searching for something, you know, in his personal life. This is a guy, he has 4 kids with 4 different women, okay? He's seeking something. And if family and the school where he really popped is where he's gonna find that happiness, I'm all for it.
All right, to Cam Newton, who's just a few weeks removed from being caught on video talking trash to some kids at a football camp, and has now put out a video of his own offering a curse-laced motivational message to all of his fans on Instagram.
When I'm showing you these clips, like what I'm doing, I'm not doing this just to show face. I'm showing this to get your up off your ass and do some.
Not actually the greatest look. Yeah. To me, it's I'm not comparing him to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's had some serious problems criminally, or at least allegations-wise. But this is cut from that same Jameis Winston cloth of when Jameis was eating W's or whatever. Things that they think sound cool actually look a little clownish and buffoonish, and that looks clownish and buffoonish. I'm not sure what Cam is thinking. He's a franchise quarterback. He doesn't need to be putting out curse-laden S-bombs and F-bombs everywhere. Not the greatest look.
I had a chance to spend some time with him this summer. We were in Boca, and it was a retreat for some of the top CEO African-Americans in the country, and he was there, soaking up energy. Very, very politeful. I mean, very polite. He addressed all of the older gentlemen as sir and just asked the right questions. So I saw a different side of Cam, a side that you can tell that he had good upbringing and he understood what to do. And then when I see something like this, it gets to me from this perspective, because they perceive him as a certain way, then you give them more ammunition to say why Cam, this is who you are. And that's the only part I hate about it, because you can tell he was smiling, wanted to have a good time with it. But when you have this type of reputation and people want to put you in this box, to me, you just don't want to give them any more ammunition to keep coming at your neck, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is that there are too many times when you act like a petulant child. And if you're going to be the CEO of my organization, and whether you like it or not, when you're the quarterback, that's what you are. You're the CEO, you're the face of the franchise, you're the CEO of an organization. And when you show me moments of immaturity on a consistent basis, can I trust you when the going gets tough? Can I trust you in the pivotal moments of a football game? And what he's shown me is a lack of emotional maturity in the pivotal moments, a lack of emotional maturity in game situations at times, in post-game situations many times. We've talked about this. This, again, is when you look at yourself and say, this is who I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to go ahead and put out an Instagram video of this immature moment. Hey, listen, there are a lot of times I want to put somebody on blast on Instagram or Twitter, trust me. And, you know, before I push send, I'm like, you know what, that's not the best look. And it's not what I'm trying, it's not the brand that I'm trying to create. And for the brand that he's trying to create, this is just not, well, it's just not a good look.
But that leads to a good question. What is the brand? Is he trying to talk to the 16-year-old fans that he's got, the same kids that go to the football camp that he's talking trash with and having fun? Because that is kind of an Instagram vibe, what he's doing there. But I will agree with you guys, like, is Drew Brees doing this video? Is Russell Wilson putting out a video like this? Like, it's not a great look, but he's had a rough season, right? He had a good season on the field, but off the field, he had that moment with the female reporter. He seems to kind of step in it always, like something. He keeps making these missteps, and he's the kind of guy you want to like a lot, right, don't you? You just want to like, he's got that smile like Magic Johnson, and he's, like you said, you spent time with him, and he's just a cool dude. People like him, but then he does something this.
I love the childlike enthusiasm. I wish I had a childlike enthusiasm when I played because I was miserable, all right? So I love the childlike enthusiasm. I don't love the childlike behavior, and that's the difference.
I just don't know anybody, including myself, who's been made to look better by social media. Social media does not enhance anyone's brand or public perception. All right, welcome back. Jim Jackson is here for Last Call. Let's move to Boogie Cousins, who says one of the reasons he signed with Golden State was because nobody else even offered him a deal. Jim, you buying that Cousins, what Cousins is selling here, no one else offered him a deal?
I think it's a difference between offering the deal and offering the deal you want. And I don't think other teams were going to go long term. So that's why the one-year deal made sense for Golden State.
And I say, you know, blame your agent. Go out and get a deal. And they, which they eventually
he
did.
He went out and got a one-year deal.
Should have been a little bit more proactive. All right, this is the story I'm most interested in. To the summer league, where Trae Young had a terrible debut yesterday for the Hawks, missing his first 10 shots and finishing just 1 of 11 from 3. Jim, are you worried about Trae Fredette? Trae Young.
Stop it. I'm worried about that shot right there and where he took it from, because that's not a high percentage shot for a rookie. Maybe for Steph Curry, but I don't get caught up into the stats of the summer league. Lonzo Ball was the MVP. What'd that mean? Okay, that doesn't guarantee success. And Donovan Mitchell played well, but he exceeded expectations once he got in the league. I think Trae Young would be all right.
I don't like his body, Jim. I
think he's cut up enough?
No, I don't like his body at all. I think this is completely different than Steph Curry. You know, look, at the end of the day, Steph Curry is Dale Curry's son. I had a lot of confidence that Dale Curry was going to have his boy ready to play in the NBA. Trae Young's daddy, I don't know if he played in the NBA.
A lot of scouts were concerned about his body. Could he hold up over time? That was the big thing that scouts were talking about. So, I mean, somebody got confidence in him, bro. He's there.
I don't like the body. I'm concerned about Trae Fredette. I've seen this story before.